The breaker comes when the Holy Spirit comes, when Jesus comes, he breaks. When he shows up on the scene, he breaks. Death, broken. Disease, broken. Demon possession, broken. Mental torment, broken. Blindness, broken. Deafness, broken. Religion, broken.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the Living Hope Podcast, an outreach of Living Hope Church located at 352 Charles Hoke Road, Whitney, Pennsylvania. Please stay tuned to the end to hear a closing message from Pastor Doug. Now, let's join Pastor Doug as he shares from the Word of God.
I want to tell you today, God is moving. He's moving. There are pockets of revival breaking out around the world and in the United States and overseas. Before every great move of God, there's usually preemptive manifestations of evil. In Moses' day, before the birth of Moses, who was a promise to the Jewish people, the Pharaoh ordered the death of all the first male-born sons of the Jewish people in order to try to thwart what God was doing. How many people know that man will always try to thwart what God is doing, and he will also always fail? Before Christ's time, Herod ordered the murder of the babies again, trying to preempt the Messiah from coming. He failed. And God, I believe, is moving again. I believe we're about to see the forward wave, the forward crest of the greatest revival, the greatest harvest of men and women from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light in the history of Christianity. In the latter days, God's going to pour out the former rain and the latter rain. There's a double portion of what God wants to do that's coming on this end time church. Now, the wheels of justice grind slowly, but they grind sure. God is not mocked. What a man sows, he'll reap. God is not blind, nor is he deaf. He sees the blood of abortion on our land. He sees our pornography. He sees our casual divorce, our sexual debauchery. He sees the lying and the cheating. He sees the abuse of the poor. He sees human trafficking. He sees child abuse. He sees all this, and he's not sleeping. Someone has to pay for the gross negligence, arrogance, and sin in the earth, and in particular in the United States. And God is looking for men and women to stand in the gap. He will have to either send revival or he will have to send destructive judgment. Well, God doesn't do that. I don't know what God you worship, but he certainly does. Look what Psalms chapter 2 says. Why are the nations so angry? Why do they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepare for battle. The rulers plot against the Lord and against the Anointed One. Let us break their chains, they cry. Free ourselves from slavery to God. But the one who rules in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at him. Then in anger he rebukes them, terrifying them with his fierce fury. For the Lord declares, I have placed my chosen king on the throne in Jerusalem on my holy mountain. That's Jesus. There's one name under heaven and earth by which men may be saved. That's Jesus. Rather than say, well, I don't believe that, why don't you say, thank God there's one name under heaven and earth. Well, I think it could be. I don't care what you think. Why not just say, thank God he made a way for me to be right with God. The king proclaims the Lord's decree. The Lord said, you are my son. Today I become your father. Only ask, look at me, only ask and I will give you the nations as your inheritance, the whole earth as your possession. He's talking to Jesus. By the way, as the Father sent Jesus, Jesus sent us, the Great Commission. Ask of me, and I'll give you the nations. I'm asking for the nations. I'm asking for the nations. I'm excited we have people in our church now from other nations. That thrills me. I want to see more nations. Listen, our heart is one day that the sun will never set on the ministry influence of Living Hope Church. Well, Pastor Doug, you're in a Whitney patch. You're just dreaming. Shut up. Dream with me. God, I'm talking about we're planting churches in Cambodia. We're planting churches in Africa. We're planting churches in Russia. We're planting churches in Mongolia and in Vietnam. We're planting churches. And as the sun goes around the earth while we're sleeping, someone that we're connected to is worshiping and praying and casting out devils and binding and loosing and establishing the kingdom of God. Come on. Here's what Jesus will do. You will break them with an iron rod and smash them like clay pots. Wait a minute. You mean Jesus? That little skinny guy that looks like he's about to throw a curveball? I call him curveball Jesus. He's all wimpy and, you know, that ain't, carpenters weren't wimpy. I don't know if you know that. Jesus is coming back and he's got fire in his eyes and a two-edged sword in his hand and he's going to execute judgment and justice. That's Jesus. He's Lord. He's our lover. He's our friend. He's our companion. But he's not our homie. Jesus is my homie. No, he isn't your homie. He loves you like a son or a daughter, but he's the Lord of the universe. You know what they call people who are casual around high voltage? Deceased. Listen, we need to honor. Listen, I'm not afraid of God with a demonic fear, but I have a fear of God that my own flesh is stupid. Sometimes anybody ever get a stupid spirit on them? Thank God for 4 or 5 honest people. But just the presence of God. I'm convinced of this. I came and prayed with the worship team this morning at 8 o'clock. Aren't you glad the worship team comes at 8 o'clock? And I came and I said, I'm convinced, I'm convicted, I'm deeply troubled, I'm deeply anxious for the presence of God. What God wants to do in the earth, he cannot do as a concept. He must do as a very present, manifested reality. So that when he comes and he touches people, they feel his presence. They sense he is near them. Not some ethereal thing out there somewhere. Not our Father who art in New Haven. We don't even know. No, Jesus is very present and very real. He said, we're two or more gathered. I am there in their midst. He's here today. And he's not here weakly. And he's not here apologetically. And listen, in the end times, he's standing on the door asking the church if he can come in because they've pushed him out. You're welcome here, Jesus. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Now, you kings, act wisely. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with reverent fear and rejoice with trembling. Submit to God's royal Son, or he will become angry, and you will be destroyed in the midst of all your activities, for his anger flares up at an instant. But what joy for all who take refuge in him. It doesn't say he gets angry in an instant. He waits, he warns, he sends prophets, and they mock the prophets, and they stone the prophets. There's only one thing on television you can mock right now. You can't mock races, you can't mock, but you can mock Christians till the day is done. Why? Because Satan realizes there's only one thing that can stop his dominance and his domain of darkness, and that's the body of Christ. We are the light and the salt. The darkness exists at our permission. I recall all permission for darkness to operate in my home. I recall all permission for darkness to operate in my community and in my nation in Jesus' name. Listen, God is coming. Judgment is certain upon sin. It is certain. I tell this to people all the time. You don't have to run around calling people sinners. Most people know there's something missing in their life. I know I did. I didn't have a clue how to find it. I didn't have a clear way to do it. All the time, my bartender wife and I were hanging around the bar drinking. There was an emptiness that no matter what we drank, no matter what we did, we could never fill. And we were clueless to know what it was. And the sad thing is, when I was a kid, I went to church. When I was 9, I made an altar call. Just as I am without one clue. Was nothing wrong with the church, nothing wrong with the people. They were good-hearted, was an evangelist. I was 9, my father was in Vietnam. The day before, my brother got saved in tears. The evangelist explained it to me. Listen, do you want to not accept Jesus, go to hell forever, burning fire, worms eating your eyeballs out? and there's no bacon. That settled it. Or you could just come and say this prayer with me and you can live forever and we'll all be drinking that free bubble up and eating that rainbow stew. What do you say? So my logical mind said, well, I ain't going to hell. I'm going to get some of that bacon and free bubble up. And I made an altar call. But you know, God honored that I said what I wanted, even if I didn't know what it was. But I made that altar call. And I had, on my dog tags down here at the bottom, it says Baptist. And I believed I was a believer. I was drinking like a fish. I was living a totally immoral life, but I believed I was a believer because I liked the concept of salvation. I liked the concept of a loving, forgiving God, but I lacked the reality of His presence. I want to warn you, what you listen to, what you look at on the internet, anybody who's doing anything for God has an army of religious Pharisees who rise up and dedicate websites to slandering their name. I always look at the fruit of the people who are doing that, and usually there isn't any. If it wasn't for what they were against, you wouldn't be able to tell what they were for. That's just a word to the wise. Turn with me to Micah chapter 2. I want to talk about the breaker. Now, for those of you who are around in the 70s, I'm not talking about Breaker 1-9. 70s moment, come and gone. I'm talking about the breaker. God is coming. Judgment is sure. Whether we do anything or not, the world is going to experience the judge of Jesus Christ. They're going to experience the judgment for sin. We don't have to go around beating people up. When the time comes, they're going to stand. Every man, every woman, every child, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Some will say He's Lord over all, some will say He's Lord after all, and it could quite possibly be too late then. So if we do nothing, the world will experience judgment. But the only way they're going to experience the love of Jesus in a tangible, practical way is if you and I become His hands and feet, and our feet aren't propped up and we're not fumbling, twiddling His thumbs. If we're going about the Father's business. And I believe God's ready to pour out His Spirit on His church so that we can show up and we can represent. Representation is to represent Jesus in the earth. How many people know we need Jesus right now? Don't freak out over this SARS epidemic, by the way. Everyone who's passed away from SARS had already had pneumonia and they were immune compromised. Ammonia, did I say? Man, you can tell those 4 weeks of medical college I took in Juarez are paying off now. Pneumonia, and it coincides with that pneumonal strain. More people died last year of the flu than have died with this coronavirus. So don't hang on every news clip about the coronavirus. Hang on every scripture that says by His stripes we're healed. I always, since that great Democrat strategist said never let a good crisis go to waste, I've been given the gift of suspicion. I have a gift of suspicion. About that too hard. Okay, Micah chapter 2. Woe to those who devise iniquity and work out evil upon their beds. When morning is light, they perform and practice it because it is in their power. Think of the abuses of power we're experiencing right now in this nation and in the world. They covet fields and seize them and houses and take them away. They oppress and crush a man and his house and a man and his inheritance. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, against this family I am planning a disaster from which you cannot remove your necks. Nor will you be able to walk erect, for it will be an evil time. In that day, they shall take up a taunting parable against you and wail with a doleful and bitter lamentation, saying, we are utterly ruined and laid waste. God changes the portion of my people, how He removes it from me. He divides our fields to the rebellious, our captors. Therefore, you shall have no one to cast a line, but by lot upon a plot of ground in the assembly of the Lord. Do not preach, saying, the prophesying false prophets, one should not babble and harp on such things. Disgrace will not overtake us. Reviling has no end. This is the best time. You can have your best life now. I made that extra part up there toward the end. O house of Jacob, shall it be said, is the Spirit of the Lord restricted, impatient, and shortened? Or these prophesied plagues his doing, are they? Do not my words do good to him who walks uprightly? But lately, my people have stood up as an enemy and have made me their antagonist. Off from the garment you strip the cloak of those who pass by in secure confidence of safety and are averse to war. You don't fight. The women of my children you cast from their pleasant houses, from their young children you take away my glory forever. You don't talk about God in the schools, you don't talk about God here, you don't talk about God there. You can do anything you want, but you can't. The only thing that's wrong is if somebody proclaims the name of Jesus. Keep it up. Keep it up, buttercup. See how that works out for you. Arise and depart, for this is not the rest which was promised to the righteous in Canaan. Because of uncleanness that works destruction, even a sharp and grievous destruction. If a man walking in a spirit of vanity and in falsehood should lie and say, I will prophesy to you of wine and strong drink, O Israel, he would even be more acceptable prophet of this people. If he would just tell you, at least get drunk so you can handle what's going to happen. These guys, most times you don't hear anything about judgment anymore. You don't hear anything about sin. You don't hear anything about a holy, righteous God. The fact that sin is going to have to be dealt with. What a horrible thing to sit in a church all your life and suddenly find yourself staring at a holy God in whose presence you have never been, only to hear him ask you to give an account for your life and whether or not you had made atonement. Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Woe on that person, woe on that pastor, or who did not preach the word of God in truth. God have mercy on us. God have mercy on me, Lord. Don't let me hold anything back. Let me speak your words of love and of truth and of judgment. I will surely gather all of you, O Jacob. I will surely collect the remnant of Israel. I will bring them together like sheep in a fold, like a flock in the midst of in the midst of their pastor. They, the fold and the pastor, shall swarm with men and hum with much noise. Kind of like before service when I'm trying to get everybody to settle down. I like that, by the way. That's healthy. People are fellowshipping, they're hanging out. It's good stuff. And this is it, verse 13. The breaker. Say the breaker. The breaker, the Messiah, will go before them. They will break through, pass in through the gate, and go out through it, and their king will pass on before them, the Lord their head. Come on now, let that sink in. Look at it. Lexington English Bible says, the one who breaks out before them goes up, they break through and pass through the gate. The English Standard Version says, he who opens the breach goes before them. If you've ever been involved in any tactical situations, which some of you may have, they say, breach, breach, breach. Means there's something between you and what needs to be destroyed. And the breach is when you break that. You break it. You breach the defenses of something, a stronghold. You breach the defenses of an enemy position. You breach it, you pass through it, and you annihilate it. The powers, Jesus came that he might destroy the works of darkness. Listen, abortion is darkness. If you've had an abortion, my wife has had an abortion. I'm not here to throw you under the bus. We'll love you. Get it under the blood. Repent. People are in difficult situations facing support because some so-called man did the deed and then left town. And left him, leaving some woman hanging somewhere, totally unaccountable, totally shy of manhood, not man enough to face the music. Not anybody can be a donor, but it takes a man to be a father. Thank you, Father. Micah 2:13, King James. The breaker is come up before them. They have broken up. Well, wait a minute. The breaker came, but who did the breaking? The breaker comes when the Holy Spirit comes, when Jesus comes, He breaks. When he shows up on the scene, he breaks. Death, broken. Disease, broken. Demon possession, broken. Mental torment, broken. Blindness, broken. Deafness, broken. Religion, broken. You know, my goal in life is not to preach the perfect sermon. My goal in life is to step up to this pulpit and fall on my face because the presence of God came so strongly that nobody better dare say anything except, God, have mercy on my soul. The word breaker is paratz, to break out, to go abroad, to breach, to break away, to take down, to go forth, to burst out, to spread abroad, to compel, to disperse, to grow, to open, to press, to scatter, to urge. When the breaker comes, he doesn't ask permission. He breaks. And you're either on one side of the break or you're on the other side of the break. You're either breaking in with light and hope or you're being broken into by judgment and destruction. I suggest one from column A, none from column B. Isaiah 28:16. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I am placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem, a firm and tested stone. It is a precious cornerstone that is safe to build on. Whoever believes need not be shaken. That's Jesus. He's the stone. I will test you with a measuring line of justice and a plumb line of righteousness. I will see if you have atoned unto righteousness, and then I will put a measurement on you of justice. Are you actively resisting the darkness, or are you just hiding behind Jesus' skirt and trying just to stay, keep a low profile, and you just kind of sneak into heaven and the gates slam on your hiney cheeks, but at least I made it in, praise God. Since your refuge is made of lies, a hailstorm will knock it down. Since it's made of deception, a flood will sweep it away. I remember Paula had left, taken Kristen for the third time. I was drinking up to a fifth of vodka a day. I was snorting cocaine on the weekends, try to drink longer. I was smoking two packs a day. When I drank, I'd become violent. I was mentally tormented. I heard voices in my head all the time. I'm free of that now. No, you're not. Shut up. And I remember thinking, what am I going to do? I'm 27 years old. I joined the Army when I was 17, left home 10 years. I did anything I felt like doing at least once or twice. I was just going to, poo-pooed my mother's religion, all her Jesus, all that crap. I'm going to show the world how to live. I'm going to rip it a new one now, baby. And then 10 years later, here I am, addicted, mentally tormented, schizophrenic. My wife's left me. I fail as a husband, fail as a father. I was successful in business. By the way, it might comfort you to know that I was servicing life support biomedical equipment. If you had surgery during that time in New Orleans, it's a miracle you're still here. And I remember thinking, and this was what bothered me. I had already tried Jesus, I thought. So what am I going to do? Is he God a UFO? Is he Buddha? Is he, who is he? I studied everything. Let me just tell you something. If Buddha could have delivered me, I'd be burning some incense with a ponytail, rubbing his little fat belly right now. But he couldn't do it. If Muhammad had been able to do it, I'd probably be wearing a bomb right now. Because I think you ought to be radical no matter what you do. But Muhammad couldn't do it. And the reason I know that Jesus is the Lord of the universe is because I wasn't looking for Jesus anymore. I was looking for the God of gods, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And he revealed himself to me, and I was ready to worship him if his name was Bert. Okay? Jeebus, I didn't really care. But he said, I'm Jesus. I'm Jesus. I'll never forget that day I got saved, Brother Rod's church. There was an old brother in there, and he just kept looking at me and just kept saying, it's Jesus, son. What you're experiencing is Jesus. And I've looked at him thinking, well, that's stupid. Of course it's Jesus. Now, 2 minutes ago, I couldn't tell Jesus from a Buick. What happened? The breaker came. Jesus came. The breaker came. Brother Rod preached the message. I didn't know what he preached about. All I knew was God was saying, I'm here and I want you to be here. I'm like, man, really? This redneck preacher up here? So I went up to the front to the altar call. I didn't know what an altar call was. But they were standing in line. I said, well, they must be waiting to talk to the pastor. Probably giving him money, you know. So I said, I'm going to have to be here for a while until I get this God thing sorted out. But I'm going to go tell that Peckerwood up there that I don't want to take any nonsense out of him at all. So I got in line to set him straight. I did. I got up there to him. I had my speech all planned out. Listen, preacher, I'm going to tell you something. I got up there and I lifted my hand up and I fell on his coat. And I wept like a baby. And then everybody began to cheer. That'll freak you out. These people, are they celebrating a nervous breakdown? What the helicopter's going on here? And then Jesus just touched me. Just in a moment, he touched me. And my future radically changed. That moment he touched me, still not knowing anything about him, the moment he touched me, Paul and I were sitting in this seat this morning. Our destinies changed forever. Listen, if you're not sold out to Jesus, I encourage you, surrender. He has a wonderful destiny for you, but he's not going to push you out of the driver's seat. Well, I'll get in the back seat. No, because you'd be a backseat driver. Get all the way in the trunk with your mother-in-law and lock the lid. Just kidding. We love our mother-in-laws. May they live forever. Okay. Keep your finger in Isaiah right there and don't poke him in the eye. Come back to 2 Samuel. Listen to this. David's fighting the Philistines. He's fighting the Philistines. He says, and the sovereign Lord says, look, I am placing a... wrong one. So David went to Baal Perazim and he defeated the Philistines there. The Lord did it, David exclaimed. He exclaimed, he burst through my enemies like a raging flood. So he named the name of that place Baal Perazim, the God of breakthrough, the God who births forth. Perazim, that's the same word they used for breaker. The breaker, the God who comes, kills people and breaks things. The guy who comes and destroys the works of darkness. The guy who comes and rips and breaks the shackles off of people's lives. Listen, I like sympathy. I like sympathy. Anybody know men? Men get man colds. You know, a man gets a cold. It's like he's got the plague, you know. Honey, I need my mommy. They try to get their wife to be their mother. Don't I? I do. I like it when she treats, come here, baby. It's going to be okay. Thank you, Mom. God will, he said, he breaks forth, he breaks out, he destroys the works of darkness, he comes, he destroys the power of sin, he destroys the power of the law. You're not under the law now. He broke the power of the law. The purpose of the law was to produce sinners. Jesus didn't come to establish a new rule book. He sure didn't come to establish a new religion. He came to restore a relationship. We have Celebrate Recovery. We're firing back up after the conference in the summer. It's not what you're saved from. Are you a drunkard? You can go to AAA. They'll give you a coin, and you can tell them, I'm going to trust my higher power, but your higher power can be a toaster. Listen, toaster ain't ever saved nobody but stale bread. I just come back from the fly. I thought that was pretty good. Jesus, it's not what you're saved from. It's whom you're saved to. To whom you're saved. That you might reconnect with the one. If you don't deal with the root, you'll never change the fruit. If you don't meet the one who breaks the power of sin off your life, you can squat. It's like playing whack-a-mole. You can whoop one over here and it's popping up over there. You can spend the rest of your life dealing with the symptoms, but I encourage you to go to the source of your problem, and that's sin. And Jesus is the solution. So we're back with Isaiah now. 28 verse 18. I will cancel the bargain you made to cheat death, and I'll overturn your deal to dodge the grave. When the terrible enemy sweeps through, you will be trampled to the ground. Again and again, the flood will come, morning after morning, day after night until you are carried away. This message will bring terror to your people. The bed you have made is too short to lie on. The blankets are too narrow to cover you. Your religion is not going to help you. It made you comfortable. You think you got fire insurance. You think you got God in your pocket. You think you can hold a cross up. He's a vampire. He's got to run away. You're deceived. It's no such thing. The Lord will come as he did against the Philistines at Mount Perazim, which we just heard about, and against the Amorites at Gibeon. And he will come and do a strange thing, and he will do an unusual deed. For the Lord, the God of heaven's armies, has plainly said that he is determined to crush the whole land. So scoff no more, or punishment will be even greater. Joshua 10, he's referencing there. On that day, the Lord gave the Israelites victory over the Amorites. Joshua prayed to the Lord in front of all the people. Listen to this. He said, "Let the sun stand still over Gibeon and the moon over the valley of Ajalon." So the sun stood still and the moon stayed in place until the nation of Israel had defeated its enemies. This is the event not recorded. Is this book not event recorded in the book of Jashar? The sun stayed in the middle of the sky and did not set is on a normal saving. How's that for daylight savings time? God held. Why did he hold the sun in the sky? Until the enemies of Israel were defeated. What is your enemy right now? Are you a child of God? Is Satan opposing you somewhere? Are you struggling with pornography? Are you struggling with addiction? Are you struggling with lust? Are you struggling with unbelief? Are you struggling with anger? Are you wish you could love better than your love? Whatever you're against, God will stop the sun in the sky if he has to, for the man or woman of faith who will stand and call upon the name of the Lord and have no plan B. Now, if you got a plan B, work it, brother. But if you got no plan B, see, shame on you that you got to be like me, so hard-headed that I had to come to total loss of everything I owned, total ruin, till I had no other options, and I had to go, "Hey, anybody up there?" But you know what? When I did, I said, "I don't know who you are. I don't like the Christians I've met in church. I don't like them." I said, "I don't know who you are, but I also hate myself and I can't change. And if you're the God I've heard you are, you'll take me as I am. But if you're not, who needs God?" And you know what? He took me. He wasn't offended. He didn't unfriend me on Facebook because it didn't exist and there was no internet. Yeah, I'm old. But he broke through. The breaker came that day and he broke the power of Satan over my life. That was in my living room, about half in the bag. And he began to deal with me until I went to church. And then that day, I tried to go to another church, and he led me back to that church, and the breaker really came. And I came home, and Paula said, "Who are you, and what have you done with my husband?" Luke 19, 41 and 44, when Jesus caught sight of the city, he burst into tears uncontrollably, weeping over Jerusalem, saying, "If only you could recognize that this day peace is within your reach. For the day is soon coming when your enemies will surround you, pressing you on every side and laying siege to you, and they will crush you into pieces and your children too." You know, Satan is not satisfied just to destroy your life. First, he wants to take your momentum. Then he wants to take your dreams. Then he wants to take your forward motion. Then he wants to take your faith. Then he wants to take your salvation, your health. Then he wants to take your wife, your husband, your kids, your grandkids. He is a destroyer. He comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus loves me, this I know. Good. Satan hates me, this I know. Bad. Jesus good, Satan bad. You with me so far? Since you would not recognize God's day of visitation, your day of devastation is coming. Okay. Listen to me. God really wants to break in on some lives here. I'm just telling you what he wants. I'm telling you, I know this. He wants to break in on some lives. He wants to break in on some impossible situations, some health problems, some marriage problems, some purity problems, some mental torment. Whatever you're longing for in your heart, in your spirit, God wants to break into that situation today. This is a day of visitation for someone. I urge you, do not miss this day of visitation. I've never said this in a service like this, but in my office, I've been sitting across from someone and said, listen, God is here right now and he wants to transact with you. And if you miss this opportunity, I see very bad results in your future. You trying to scare them? Ultimately, I'm trying to help them. Is it scaring them? I hope so. You know, it's not fear-mongering if it's true. It's only fear-mongering if it's not true. The gospel is true. Judgment for sin is true. Salvation is true. These are realities, whether we believe them or not. You can rebuke gravity and jump off a building. The results will be the same. The immutable laws of the universe are the immutable laws of the universe. Let's all stand to our feet. I'm not going to milk this altar call. I'm not going to keep this thing long. But if you're in a bad place, if you're in a tight place, if you've been wrestling with God over something, if your relationship's in trouble, if your health is in trouble, if you're just convicted as you're going here that you have so many plan Bs, that you're not really trusting God to do things in your life right now, if that's you, I just want you to come up to the altar quickly. The breaker is going to come. How about you've got a kid out there somewhere in the world still trying to live like the old Pastor Doug, and you need a breakthrough in his life? Get up here. The breaker wants to come. Listen, those of you who fasted, you didn't fast in vain. Your fasted prayers are going before you, and they will throughout the rest of your life. Prayer is a powerful thing because we pray and it doesn't poof in front of us. The enemy wants to discourage us, but I'm telling you, don't grow weary in well-doing. You will reap a reward in due season. Listen, the way you miss destruction in the end times is you get on your assignment and you get in proper alignment. That's where the protection is. You're either on this side of the breach or you're on that side of the breach. God is either breaking out in front of you or he's breaking out toward you. You don't want him breaking out toward you. You want him breaking out in front of you. Amen? So we're just going to pray. And then if you want personal prayer, lift your hand. Somebody will come and pray with you personally.
I just want to say that this is very important what we're doing right now. And I want to tell you that God is really here. And we've been praying for breakthroughs for all of you. What my husband shared about our testimony, and I just want to say that who would have thought the mess we were in, that God would have wanted us, that God would have saved us, that God would have cleaned us, and that God would have gave us a new life and a new dream. Only God can do that, and we stand here before you as a testimony of that. And someone asked me the other day, what would you write, if you had a chance to write a letter to me when I was 13, what would I say? And you know what I thought? I thought I wouldn't tell myself anything, because for all the hardships I went through all the things I've learned, God has turned that around for me that I can use it as a testimony to help others.
That's right.
So I thank God for what I've been through. I thank God for the storms. I thank God for the trials and the struggles. I thank God for everything he's put me through. And I thank God even more for what he's brought me out of in the name of Jesus. And he wants to bring you breakthrough. I'm telling you, some of you guys have lost jobs in these last couple months. And 2020 is a year of breakthrough. Some of you have lost jobs. And God is getting ready to set you up for a job that's going to bring you up into your ministry for what God has called you to do. If you seek him, if you're desperate enough, we were desperate for God and God came and gave us a breakthrough. And all he wants is, are you desperate for God to come into your life this morning? Are you desperate for a change? Are you desperately crying out for healing, crying out for your kids? I'm telling you, we've got to slay some dragons so our children won't have to.
Amen.
An old proverb said, parents eat the rotten grapes, but it's the children who get the belly aches. And we need to break the curses for our children and our grandchildren. This is what's taking place right now. I think everyone should be up here. I think everyone has someone to stand for. I think you can stand in the gap for a brother or a sister or a son or a daughter or a grandkid. I think you need to come up here. Just believe God that he's going to touch you and he's going to bring a breakthrough into your life. So just come up. Just be free. Just let God get a hold of you in the name of Jesus.
Yeah. Thank you. God, you're Jehovah. You're Baal Perazim, the God of breakthrough, the God who bursts forth like a flood. You're the dam breaker, God. You're the author of the universe. You hold all the seas in the palm of your hand. You created the heavens, and they're but a speck in compared to your greatness and your glory. You're awesome and fearful. You're mighty in power and long-suffering in justice and mercy. And by the blood of Jesus, you've made a way that we all might have freedom, that we all might find peace, that we all might find help, that we all might find hope and wholeness.
Hey, thanks for stopping by. This is Pastor Doug. I hope this message helps you grow in your faith and in your relationship with Jesus Christ. But not only that, I hope this podcast becomes a practical way by where your faith not only impacts your life, but the lives of those around you and your community and even your nation. We'd love to see you in one of our services. And here's Will to tell you about local service times and locations. Thanks again for stopping by.
Thanks, Pastor Doug. Living Hope Church is located at 352 Charles Hoke Road in Whitney, Pennsylvania, across from the post office. Our services begin Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., and childcare is provided. For more information, check us out on the web at www.hopealive.net. You can send us your prayer requests and comments to podcast@hopealive.net. Until next time, God bless you from Living Hope Church.